let's try to get back to the meat offering. Leviticus, Leviticus 2, the meat offering. When any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and he shall take thereof his handful of the flour thereof, and of the oil thereof, and all the frankincense thereof, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is the thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. And if thou bring an oblation of meat offering baked in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. And if thy oblation be a meat offering baked in the pan, it shall be a fine flour unleavened mingled with oil. Thou shalt part it in pieces and pour oil thereon it as a meat offering. And if thy oblation be a meat offering baked in the frying pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. And thou shalt bring the meat offering that is made of these things unto the Lord, and when it is presented unto the priest, he shall bring it unto the altar. And the priest shall take from the meat offering a memorial thereof, and shall burn it upon the altar. It is an offering made by fire, of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And that which is left of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons, it is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. No meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering of the Lord made by fire. As for the oblation of the first fruits, you shall offer them unto the Lord, but they shall not be burnt on the altar for a sweet savour. And every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. And if thou offer a meat offering of thy first fruits unto the Lord, thou shalt offer for a meat offering of thy first fruits green ears of corn dried by the fire, even corn beaten out of full ears. And thou shalt put oil upon it, and lay frankincense thereon as a meat offering. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it, part of the beaten corn thereof, and part of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now, that sounds like a lot of gobbledygook, as we know, but we know there's tremendous mysteries within it. We know, the first thing we notice that this differs from all other offerings, is that there's no life required. And the idea that there is no life required destroys liberal or martyrdom theology. It destroys the possibility of being monasticism, because there has to be a place where the meat offering is manifested. It can't be done in isolation. It can't be done in a structured environment. And we'll go into all that and the reasons why it can't be. It has to be unstructured. If it's structured, it's a method of avoiding the consequences of the meat offering. The meat offering represents your soul, the eunus, your eunus. It's your mind, your emotions, your thought, your will. It's your personality. It represented the personality of Jesus Christ. He offered his soul for the brethren. His life was reserved to God. And so when we see that the burnt offering is the highest offering that can be made, and with its meat offering, it's the next highest offering that can be made. The burnt offering is the death, the cost of a life. It goes to the Father. The soul offering is the cost of the soul, and it goes to the brethren. And that's it's the fulfillment of all the tables of the law. Now, there's so much mystery here that it's almost unbelievable that there could be so many things in one offering that would be so revelatory of the life of Christ. The idea that there could be no honey or leaven on the offering. not there could be no leaven of Herod, there could be no leaven of the Sadducees, there could be no leaven of the Pharisees. You can never see lack. In other words, hear this, you never give the offering because you see there's a need for it. If you gave the offering because you saw there was a need for it, then you would have leavened the offering. You would have interjected the leaven of Herod into the offering. You understand? You would have tainted what you're doing.
Yeah, humanism.
Yeah. If you would have responded to the poor because they were poor, you would have offered leaven in your offering. If you would have responded to the hurting because they hurt, you would have put leaven into the offering. Because what you would have done is you would have viewed them with different eyes. You would not have done it as unto the Lord, but you would have done it as unto men.
Like a charity.
Yeah, if you make the body of Christ a charity.
That's what this was about last night. Yeah, offering to this guy because he was in pain.
Yeah. And it just sickens you. Yeah. You can start to feel it. Gut.
Couldn't identify why. It was like, yeah. This was funky.
Yeah.
Waited it out.
I mean, we've done it 1,000 times. I mean, don't feel bad about doing it. You'll do it again. But this is so you can identify what is happening. There's no honey offered in the offering. It's nothing that's man-pleasing. No man-pleasing phenomena. Nothing that is sweet to the senses is ever offered in the offering. For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So therefore, you got to see this in the life of Christ then. You got to see that Christ he wasn't this sweet guy. And he didn't go around meeting need because there was need there to be met. You got to understand this. He didn't feed the hungry because they were hungry. He didn't heal the sick because they were sick. He healed the sick and he fed the hungry so that he would know that he had that ability. Once he knew he had that ability, then he could be tested in that. You understand that? If that's what's, and you can sense it. I mean, you know it when it happens, the plastic Jesus syndrome. You can see it in charities, you can see it in all over the place. Oh, I gotta do this and this and this. We're gonna always have the poor with us. That's why we don't, yeah. If God, you gotta hear this, if God wanted the world healed the way we and the religion wants him healed, he would have healed it. Something else is going on. There's another agenda that we know nothing of, but the world knows this. We have the understanding of a mystery that the world knows nothing about, nor can they know it. It would sound like gobbledygook to them. It's never man-pleasing.
Just the idea that Christ had a personality is hitting me particularly hard tonight. It's like, you know, I really don't think I've ever thought about that before. You know, having a distinct...
It was a distinct personality.
Just like anybody else.
It was forged and molded by the experiences of his youth. And then it had to be emptied of at his baptism.
It's like he had compassion, but like at this one point where he was weeping over Jerusalem and all this stuff, but the answer to that was he went to the cross, not what everybody thought would be the best thing to do for that compassion in your natural senses.
Amen. All power in heaven and earth was delivered unto him, yet he did not throw out Rome from Israel.
There's a particular kind of personality that I've run into a lot in working in the social services, like it's the state, and I saw one yesterday when I took Cameron to the parole board. Anyway, but the lady at the parole board yesterday was just like that. And it's a sickeningly sweet kind of person that gets all this life from you know, dealing with, you know, clients, with poor people. And
use it, but don't abuse it.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing.
Use the world, but don't abuse it. Don't give it any breath. Okay, now the other thing that we see is that only frankincense was put on the offering. terms of any herb or spice? Well, frankincense is just weird. It was real rare, and it's real, but it's icky.
Does it smell bad?
It smells really bad until it's burned. And then when it's burned, it's a sweet savor. It's like flesh with perfume on it. Smells real nice until it's burned, and it's... then it's not a sweet savor. It's a savor of death, unto death. Then what is the frankincense? That only is a sweet savor of life, even in the death. What is it?
Sure suffering.
Huh?
Spirit. Suffering.
No. Always the spirit is always either water or oil. What is the frankincense? It's just terrible.
Just preaching, sound like preaching.
It's just terrible.
Yeah. No, I believe there may be other mysteries involved, but the frankincense is the suffering.
Get gold star.
Huh?
Doug got it right?
Mm-hmm. That's what I said.
Well, because we taught him that before.
Well, I mean, but I didn't say it very loud because I thought some of them.
You said it. You didn't want to say it. Yeah. You didn't want to spoil any chance.
Well, those who might have remembered.
But that's a sweet savor of God.
It's a sweet savor of God. Now, the other thing that we see about it is that it's got to have salt in it. The meat offering has to have salt. Remember, the meat offering only, you know, there's a handful of it that's put on the altar, but the rest of it goes to the priests. It's a sustenance. What is it? What is this thing? What is this salt? Why salt? We all know.
Timelessness.
It's the component of eternity in what you're doing. And it's the only thing that will last. It's the only thing that preserves what we're about. The moment if we lost that component of eternity here and we begin to preach community, the community would die.
What is about? Is there something about the nature?
Salt is a preservative.
It gives the appearance of cheating time. If you pack meat and salt or something, it will last and won't decay. So in the minds of the ancient people,
it uses pure hides too.
And in, also, salt is one of the most unique from a what level did you get organic chemistry?
We're just now talking about
organic. Huh?
We're just now talking about organic chemistry.
Okay. Well, salt changes so that it doesn't just stay on the surface of, like if you put pepper on it, your pepper is just a salt goes to in the act of cooking or it penetrates every cell.
It's worthy of a note.
Mm-hmm. Now, also notice that there's all these different types of it. It's in a pan, it's baked in a frying pan, which is another word. It's just burned on the altar in general. Anyway, the imagery is that it doesn't always look like the same thing. I'm sure that there are some others, but I don't want to get into it tonight. This is like to get our minds back to meat offering kind of thing tonight, like a thumbnail sketch of meat offering.
Chris, is the oil they use here, it's not the same oil they use in the lamps, is it? Mm-hmm. They don't use the same oil for...
No.
It's like there's no getting it right except just for what it is.
Yeah. Now, again, it has oil, fine flour, and remember we talked about this isn't just flour, it's fine flour. It's flour that has been beaten and suffered and experienced. Boom, 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 boom.
Well, I can't remember. Was this just a certain kind of flour or was it all flour?
It's all fine flour.
So mean, it could be, does it have different grains? No, it can be. Is that like coming and all that stuff, beaten? things.
I think, if I, again, don't quote me in this yet, but I believe that there are five grains that can be used in the meat offering. Well, the other thing, obviously, is oil. Now, oil is... There's some, remember this thing we talked about, the difference of the deals when oil is used? When oil is spoken of, sometimes it's used as water and sometimes the metaphor is oil. Somebody remember that?
He said something earlier about it being, it's not offered at any specific time. It's like you feel like doing a meat offering, you can do it.
Well, no. No, there, huh?
There were specific times,
but you could also offer it at other times. I mean, it was always offered with the meat offering. I mean, with the burnt offering. You couldn't offer the burnt offering without the meat offering. So whenever it said the burnt offering, it says with its meat offering. Remember?
Yeah.
Let's go to Numbers 29.
I was just casting hold of the free will offering aspect of it. That it was because there was love, like because you wanted to give, because it was.
But it just
seems
to me that you can't offer more than an offering.
Yeah.
Really, for the difference between oil and water.
Yeah, but I can't remember it. No, I'm not doing it right now. I'm looking. We're just talking about meat offering that being offered in chapter 29. It's just full of this. It just. Huh? Numbers. Doug, would you tell him what I said?
He said Numbers.
All right. Let's just go through a bunch of different scriptures. Let's go to verse 6. Beside the burnt offering of the month and his meat offering. Go to verse 8. But you shall offer burnt offering unto the Lord for a sweet savor. That's right. First to 8-9, and their meat offering. So it's the burnt offering and their meat offering. You understand the context. In verse 13, you shall offer burnt offering, a sacrifice, etc. And then, and in verse 14, and their meat offering. In verse 17, and the second day you shall offer 12 bullocks, etc. And their meat offering. And in the whole thing, if you look, every other scripture is the burnt offering and the meat offering. His meat offering. In other words, there can be no religion without giving up of the life. And to give up the life means you gave up the right to yourself. That's what the meaning of the meat offering is. It's the perception and the knowing that the meat offering has been given over to the brethren. I gave up the right to myself, to the brethren. Now, that takes a long time to see what it costs you, because there's no life, there's no visible thing. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you can understand quickly what the burnt offering costs. It's boom, it's death, you're dead, you're gone, your history, goodbye. But the burnt offering, it's offering of the soul. And it's a long process to lose the right to yourself. I said to this guy today that there can be no Christianity without community. It's impossible. Unless you make only your object of Christianity is to make converts, then you can have Christianity without community, but it's not Christianity. I don't know what these guys study. I mean, I've listened to like Tilton over and over and Benny Hinn over and over and all these guys. What do they say in their church? What do you go to their church? They say the same damn thing every day.
It's just kind of a...
What is it?
Soul jacked up.
It's just crazy.
Probably Zig Ziglar.
Well, it's not even Zig Ziglar. I mean,
well, it meets the mind, but it doesn't address the inward parts. It just really doesn't.
Jacked up.
That's what there's a lot of hungry people.
It meets the emotions. Mm-hmm. It's the more than the mind.
Well, let's look at it. Let's go. Remember, the burnt offering is the first table of the law, and the meat offering is the second table of the law. Remember that? Let's go to it. Deuteronomy 5. verse 7. Well, this is, do you remember what Deuteronomy means? Deuteronomy? Deuto is second. So it's the second. It's the second giving of the law. What happened is that the first giving of the law had happened back there, back in like 1984 or something like that.
Yeah.
And now we're into Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law, right? In chapter 5, and Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Deuteronomy is, this is when they were just ready to enter the promise after they got the law 40 years earlier. They got the law here, they're in, so it had to be given again, Deuteronomy. So all this happened in about 14, just before they entered the promise in Deuteronomy. Numbers was their wanderings in the wilderness. Okay? Joshua was their activity in the promise. Joshua corresponds to Ephesians in the New Testament. Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak into your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep them and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not his covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. And the Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up into this mount, into the mount, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Okay, the first commandment, thou shalt have none other gods before me. Second commandment, thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters beneath the earth. He had this whole list of stuff he was in, allegedly, and he one of them was that we studied astrology here.
Well, the watch we
have. I said, what do you mean, studies? I said, it's been reported to us that you teach astrology. So what's that mean? I said, well, I don't know. It's been reported. Well, so you teach astrology. Who reported it? Well, I just... And I said, well, what we do is we teach what they taught in the first century. That the 12 signs of the zodiac reveal the mystery of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh.
Oh, that's different completely.
Oh, I've heard that before.
Oh, by the way, what's your sign?
That's something Doug would say.
Oh, now, come on. You're talking about chicken skin. Say a line like that and then attribute it to me.
When you ask the guy, if you're sitting there asking if he teaches astrology, ask the guy his sign.
That would be
the first thing I did.
I'm not coming out on that limb with you.
Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. That's the second commandment, right? Thou shalt not make any graven images. And then that's the explanation. Third commandment. Thou shalt not take... What?
Oh.
Third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Fourth commandment, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor that any of thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm before the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Okay, that's the first four, right? But I believe, and that's what the traditional scholars say, were the first four tablets, the first four laws that were on the first tablet. I don't believe that. I believe the first five, the next one, was also on the first commandment, was part of the burnt offering. That one says, Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that the days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I believe that was, as we know, call no man on earth father, call no woman on earth mother. So this was 5:1-5 should be the first tablet of the law, the burnt offering. So the honor of thy father and thy mother is part of the burnt offering, not the meat offering.
So it goes to God, all of those go to God. Really.
Those are really God, because honor thy father which is in heaven, and thy mother which is the fruit of that. Now, and the sixth commandment, now we get into the responsibility to the neighbors or to the brethren. And that is the meat offering. The first of it was the burnt offering. Now comes the meat offering. And it has to be in all those things that we've discussed. But it's, thou shalt not kill, neither shalt thou commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, nor covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his maidservant, or his manservant, nor his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. So those are the Ten Commandments. 6-10 are thou shalt, first one, thou shalt not kill, but those represent everything that's in the burnt offering. The meat offering. So in the burnt offering and then the meat offering is the picture of all the other offerings. Amen?
Amen.
Now, but they're both one offering. They're both Jesus Christ. They're both a different aspect of Him. One Him as unto the Father, the other Him as unto the brethren. It's burnt offering is John 3:16. The meat offering is 1 John 3:16. That's enough. I don't feel like talking anymore.